everybody. This is Derek Whitesky Cloud, and you listen to Between Two Worlds on bbsradio.com. Welcome, everybody, to listen to this show. I've got some really fabulous guests coming up for the next few weeks, and who I have right now is coming up. I'll give you a little story. There's a fellow by the name, this guy is coming up, his name is Jerry Rector. He's actually an actor, producer, director. He does film, but all kinds of stuff that you would believe that he would want to share your his stories with you. Also works in the metaphysical field. He's been trained as a minister. He's been ordained as well as a certified La Ho Chi. And he's also, he's got some really great stories to tell. So, I mean, I'm going to actually let everybody all know right now. I'll welcome everybody into the chat room, into the BBS Radio chat room, and also in the Pal Talk chat room. Welcome. This is going to be a fabulous night. I know you guys are going to enjoy this. Also, if anybody wants to phone in on the show, please do. I'll give you the phone numbers right now. So get your crayons out, folks. The phone numbers are toll-free, 877-876-5227. It's 877-876-5227. And those are in Canada. It's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And those are actually international calling lines. They're 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. This is open line, so folks, if you want to phone in and ask questions regarding Jerry and the kind of work that he does, anybody who actually has interest in the acting field or any specific question you want to ask, even something in the paranormal, they know something. Okay, anyways, without further ado, because I got so much to talk about with this guy, so welcome, Jerry. How are you doing?
I'm great, Derek. Thanks for having me. Hi, everybody.
Hey. We got the guy. You and I talked about this for so long to get you on my show, or even just even we talked about all kinds of stuff, even in the metaphysical field. And we and I have met. We met at the Spiritualist Church a few times, and when I was doing some of my platform work and other work that you've been doing. But I want to talk about you. Now, you're an actor, producer, director. And right now, you're actually directing a movie.
Co-directing a feature film called Elvis, Mozart, and Me.
Elvis, Mozart, and Me. Okay,
it's
who's Elvis?
A musical comedy feature, if you can believe it.
Okay.
Not many of those being done today.
No, especially in a field like, especially in a show like this. Is Elvis still alive?
Well, that's the conjecture at this point.
Yeah?
We're still waiting... Oh, in my film?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
In spirit only.
Okay.
But Elvis, Mozart, and Me is a funny story because through channeling, actually, in the storyline, Antonio Salieri, you know, Mozart's nemesis, is brought forth through an accidental channeling. So because of that, there's singing, dancing, love, romance. It's very funny.
Good.
Very funny.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. So when do you think it might be released?
We're looking at finishing post-production by spring of 2008.
Wow,
Terry Wolf, who's the creator, Terry and I are co-directing it.
Okay.
And
we have a
phenomenal cast.
Okay. Now, are there any people that we know that are part of this program or part of this that's putting together this movie with you?
No star names, quote unquote, per se, but some of the finest musical theater actors and singers in the Vancouver, BC area.
Okay.
I'm telling you, this cast is superb across the board.
Wow. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Now, also, you've been involved in also in short film dualities. You've been accepted in four film festivals.
My short film duality, yes.
What are the locations now? What places are you accepted in now?
The Surge Film Festival is actually an anarchist festival, which I'm very proud of.
Okay.
Stirring up the mix a little.
What do you call an anarchist film festival?
In Olympia, Washington.
Okay. What do you call an anarchist film festival? Why do they call it that?
Surge actually stands for Social Uprising, Resistance, and Grassroots Encouragement Film Festival.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the true meaning of anarchy is actually, putting the power in the people's hands. It is the true freedom of speech and freedom of expression without repression.
Cool. That sounds really good.
Yeah. So I'm extremely proud of that, and that's linked, no pun intended, to the Link Film Festival, also in Olympia, Washington. And Link stands for living in. I'm sorry, I just drew a blank. Anyway, it has to do with conservation of the planet and human kindness.
Oh, okay.
So it's a forwarding movement of the Earth's ecology, and as well as kindness towards one another.
Okay. Now you're also doing the Sacramento Horror Film Festival.
Film Festival in October.
Yeah, and are you doing this one in October? You have a film going to this one as well?
That's duality as well.
Okay.
Same film in all these different festivals.
Okay. What type of film would be the Sacramento Horror Film Festival? What type of movie would you be doing in that one in particular?
Well, that's still my film, the same film duality.
Oh, okay. I'm still learning about the filming field, so you'll have to be easy on me.
A little patient. No problem.
I find it fascinated. Okay.
My first, this duality is my second film, and of course this feature film, Elvis, Mozart, and Me is my third film. My first film, It's About Time, screened at the Dragon Con Film Festival in Atlanta. For all you sci-fi fans out there, Dragon Con hosts about 40,000 sci-fi conventioners each year. It's huge, and I attended it with friends, Paul McGillian of Stargate Atlantis, of course, and Kevin Sorbo of Hercules and Andromeda, and Aaron Gray from Buck Rogers in the 21st Century.
Wow.
So that was a lot of fun, and I was honored to have my film, It's About Time, honored at their film festival.
Have been doing some TV. I looked on your bio, you've actually played a few aliens, especially in Star Trek.
I did a guest star on Star Trek The Next Generation, episode 66, Allegiance, which is actually a reworking of The Menagerie, which was the pilot episode of the original Star Trek series, which happens to be one of my favorite episodes, The Menagerie, also known as The Cage. So to actually be in a Next Generation episode that was a reworking of that story was just a huge, a huge blast for me as myself growing up a sci-fi fan.
Yeah.
And not only that, but I was beamed aboard the Starship Enterprise bridge, which not many people can say that. So I'm really that was really special for me.
Cool.
I've also done a guest spot on Sliders again for the sci-fi fans. Sliders with co-guest star was. What's Freddy Krueger's name, the actor? Robert England was a guest star with me on that episode of Sliders. That was excellent. Did an episode of The Burning Zone, another sci-fi show, as well as The Twilight Zone. So I've had a good run in sci-fi.
Now you also I want to mention just your twin brother for a minute. You actually have a twin brother.
Yes, identical twin brother.
You played the twin aliens, or
like... we were supposed to be one alien from a million clone planet.
Okay.
But my brother Jeff and I, yes, played two of what were supposed to be the same clone aliens on the Star Trek. We also, which was a lot of fun, we were able to play, we were cast as the Kray brothers on a special for the Discovery Channel. The Kray, I don't know if you remember, the Kray brothers were really murderous, villainous twin brothers in the East End London in the 60s. And they ran an East End mafia there that was unsurpassed for many years. It was only, they could never get any witnesses to come forward because they were just, these brothers were so vicious.
Wow.
They were finally caught and both sentenced to life in prison in England. And that was a very interesting role to play, getting to play infamous characters like that.
It is. Sounds pretty dramatic in a way.
Very dramatic.
Now you've actually also you've done other films. One in the past, I'd say a couple of years back, you actually did a movie with was it Christopher Lambert?
Christopher Lambert and Ice-T called Mean Guns.
Mean Guns. Yeah. I remember that movie.
A lot of fun.
I enjoyed that one.
Action adventure, pretty much 90 minutes of carnage with baseball bats, shotguns, and various other weapons.
Were you playing the bad guy?
We were all bad guys. I think the little girl in it was the only one that wasn't a nefarious character. The idea was basically 50 or so thugs were all locked up inside a high security prison, a brand new security prison before it opens, and the three left alive battled it out for a $10 million briefcase. Everybody else, was basically a fight to the death. So it was survival of the fittest, and with a tongue firmly planted in cheek.
Okay.
With the action, I enjoyed that, working on that a lot. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Oh, I did. I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, some movies really get my attention. If you play some, because you're trying to find something that is quite unique, something that's totally different. And I found that was a little bit different compared to your typical shoot, kill, that's it.
Shoot 'em up. Yeah.
They put some effort into making it different.
Writer-director Albert Payoun, who I did a couple films with, great guy, really put an interesting twist on the plot and made it more interesting, yeah, like you say.
Yeah. Now, you've traveled across the world some. Now, what you told me before, that you've actually have been to some pretty outstanding places.
I've been very blessed and fortunate in my life. I've been to Peru three times, Brazil twice, Greece, France, Spain. Of course, I grew up in the United States, so all over the United States, many places in Mexico. I'm an avid scuba diver too for 25 years, so I've dove all over the world, and that's a true joy for me. One of my some of my most fantastic experiences were in Peru on basically what you might call spiritual sojourns.
Now, you've actually done a lot of personal spiritual journeys and metaphysical journeys. I want to say as a metaphor, because you've actually experienced spirits, or ghosts, and call it, or other types of paranormal situations. Do you want to share a story about any of your journeys?
Sure. Well, as a writer, you know, of course, many actors fall into it as an additional creative outlet. For me, all of my stories, my poems, I've had 4 poems published, my short films, my feature film scripts, everything is downloaded to me in the dream state, or channeled, if you will. So I've never sat down and wrote, you know, hey, I want to write a script about this, I want to write one about that. It just comes in when it comes in, and after a while I was smart enough to jump up on my computer when it comes in, no matter what time of the morning it is, usually in the wee hours of the morning, and I jump up on the computer and I just write until the whole story comes out, or until the story runs out at that point, or so when it comes to fruition. So all of my writing is divinely inspired, let's say.
Okay.
And I only consider myself to be the conduit or vehicle for the information to come through.
Let's talk about Peru. What did you find up there in that area when you're on your journey there?
Well, let me go back to the beginning, if I may.
Sure.
The beginning of my metaphysical journey started about 18 years ago. In 1990, and a friend of mine, her mentor, she was a wonderful body worker and massage therapist and energy worker, healer. And her mentor was coming down from San Francisco, and she said, this is the last time Richard is teaching this psychic development workshop. You have to take it. So I did, and it was an all-day event at the Roosevelt Hotel in Hollywood. And at the end of the day, there were 6 of us in the class. I found out later that 2 of the women, 2 of the 6 were already professional psychics. So apparently they knew of Richard and trusted his experience. So he asked us to pick 2 people and give them psychic readings to the best of their ability. And you have to understand, at this time, I knew absolutely nothing about metaphysics. In fact, I hadn't even meditated. The first meditation I experienced was the night before at the orientation when Richard led us through a guided meditation. So at the end of the workshop, we picked 2 people, and I read a woman in her mid-40s, and I started picking up these images of a guy in army camouflage, like a soldier, but I couldn't see his face, and I'm describing the khakis, and so I opened my eyes at the end, and there's tears streaming down her face. And she said that her husband had been killed in the war 5 years before, and she was just now being able to get over it and deal with it.
Wow.
The next person I picked was another actor, my age, my type, and we were doing a parental reading. So we read the right side of the body, the masculine, which was the father, and the left side, the mother. And I was reading the right side, and I started grinding my teeth, and I was just getting this blockage and gray and black, and so I was describing that, right? I didn't know any of this stuff. And then I said, I'm getting a blockage. I can't. That's all I see. I started reading the left side and the mother, and immediately I didn't see the woman's face, but I said, there's this woman. She's in her early 40s. She's got long brunette hair, and she's smiling. She's happy. She wants you to know that she's very peaceful where she is. And as I hear the words coming out of my own mouth, I realize, it sounds like this woman's passed over. So I kept going with the reading, and then the more I spoke, the more it flowed, and basically found out later that that I was spontaneously channeling this guy's deceased mother.
Wow.
And I didn't know him from Adam from the, you know, from the morning, meeting him that morning, right?
Yeah.
So her messages to him through me about his older brother, she said, you know, even though he's your older brother, he's always been the more irresponsible one, and you're going to be okay, don't worry, but I'm very concerned about him, and I want you, my eyes are closed while this is happening. And she said, I want to know that you'll look after him. And I hear him say, I will. And then, of course, I knew that all this was true, and I was on the right track, and there were some other messages for him. And found out afterwards that, you know, that all of the messages were bang on, and his father used to beat him. And he hated his father, and that's why I was grinding my teeth and all the blockage was happening.
Wow.
He had a loving relationship with his mother, who had just passed on a couple years before. And so everything that I said was, you know, was dead on about that. No pun intended. And
that's a pun.
What's that?
That's a good pun.
So
I like it. He was dead on.
Yeah. Our. So, and again, all this was completely new to me. But it felt, instead of, he was freaked out. To me, it was the most natural, beautiful, sacred experience I'd ever experienced. And what I realized, the lesson for me then, this was the beginning of my metaphysical journey, the lesson for me was that there is in fact life after death, and we can communicate with those that have crossed over. And at that moment, I realized that if that's possible, anything is possible. That includes aliens or extraterrestrials, whatever you want to call them, you know, disincarnate spirits, everything. So that was an amazing experience for me, and that kind of cracked the shell for me to developing more, you know, on my own journey and through the metaphysical world.
How did it feel to be a psychic or a medium at the time, being that messenger for the very first time? How did it make you feel?
It was incredible. Like I said, it felt completely natural. It was magnificent, beautiful, touched my heart, sacred. And now, of course, years later, I know that I've of course believe in reincarnation, and I know that I've had many past lives as monks and priests, and so that's why it felt so natural to me, because I had experienced that so many times before in previous lifetimes.
Have you ever thought of going into this kind of field using mediumship at all, or psychic self?
I've also been a channeler, and I've channeled over many years. But that's a process that I'm still not completely comfortable with, because I'm always present. I'm always semi-conscious.
Yeah.
During the channeling, because Jerry's always there, it's hard for me to not filter. It's hard for me to trust all the information when you know Jerry's sitting there too, privy to everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because basically you're looking for the logical side of it instead of just saying, is this really me or is I making it up?
Yes, exactly. And while I know I'm not making it up, and of course that's my Virgo mind too. There's also a part of me that, you know, that struggles with that. And so I'd almost rather just be an unconscious channel so that I'm completely out of the way. But of course, at present, that's not, you know, the hand that I've been dealt. So. I'm working more with it to become more comfortable with it.
I've got someone here who just asked a question here on the chat line. They're asking me if you actually have considered writing a book.
I am. Thank you for that. I am very psychic of them. I am in the process of that.
Okay.
Of documenting all of my experiences because there's been quite a few and I'm writing that book, and until the something or somebody says this isn't a good idea any longer, that's one of my projects.
They also said how many volumes.
Thank you.
That's funny.
If I could remember more of my high school and college years, it'd probably be many more volumes. But having moved to Los Angeles for high school and college, some of that's a bit of a blur. I'm happy to say.
Now, you were ordained as a metaphysical minister in 1995.
Yes.
And is certified in 1998 as La Ho Chi. What is La Ho Chi?
La Ho Chi practitioner, yes.
Practitioner, what is that?
Most of my family, we were born in St. Louis, grew up outside of Detroit, Pontiac, Bloomfield Hills, suburbs, and then moved to L.A. A junior in high school and college in subsequent years. And we were raised Presbyterian.
Okay.
And at the time, you know, I think organized religion never really sat with me all that well. But we were raised with it, so, you know, I went along with it. And then after moving to New York for 4 years and then moving back to L.A., probably about 93, I just sort of had it with organized religion.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't know what the other choices were. But I heard about these metaphysical churches around. So I went to one, the first one, which ended up being just sort of a glorified born-again Christian church.
Yeah.
And which was fine, but it just didn't speak to me. The next church that I went to was a small little church called the Church of Inner Light in Santa Monica, California.
Okay, and what's that one?
And it was different than anything I'd ever experienced, and I was captivated.
Okay. Captivated as in?
It felt like home.
Okay.
It felt like home. I went back the next week just to make sure it wasn't a fluke, that particular service.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. And so I went there, I became a member, and then I entered the ministerial program.
Okay.
And then was ordained in 1995.
Okay. And that's under the same church?
And this was very similar to FUSC Church in here in Burnaby, BC.
Okay, that's the church
in Canada, and that's
okay.
why FUSC is so near and dear to me, being First Universalist Church of First Universal Spiritualist Church in Burnaby.
Have you ever been to the other spiritual church, the one up in White Rock here? That's run by Reverend Barbara Leonard?
I have not. I know Barbara through FUSC. I haven't had a chance to get up there yet. No.
Oh, you got to get.
I understand that's going very well.
Yeah, you're going to have a great time being there.
I'm there in November.
Just like FUSC. It's so comfortable. You'll have a lot of fun. Barbara, then you'll have a lot of fun.
Yes. I'm going to be there. I don't have that right here. But what the Church of Inner Light was I call it expanded Christianity.
Yeah.
It was Christian based, but it also was had a nice balance and blend with Eastern philosophy.
Yeah.
So while we believed in Christian beliefs such as the brotherhood of man and peace on earth, we also embraced the Eastern philosophies and reincarnation.
Yeah.
And the idea that life exists beyond our five senses.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
So open about new things that it do, that we're always exploring.
The universes, plural, is so ginormous, and there's so much out there that we just have no idea about. I believe we do ourselves a disservice if we don't keep our minds and our hearts open to new ideas and new philosophies.
That's true. Now, I got someone else here asking a question regarding, are you going back to do the Star Wars series again? Are you returning back?
I'm sorry, what about the Star Wars series?
Star Trek series. Somebody said Star Wars.
Well, common mistake. No, currently there are no Star Trek. There are no Star Trek series currently in production. Next Gen, Star Trek Next Gen went down. Then, of course, followed by, Deep Space Nine and Voyager. And then Enterprise, which was the latest, which was sort of the prequel to Next Generation, is off the air also. So there's no Star Trek series being that is in production currently. I would love to, but not much chance of that at this point.
Oh, I never knew that. I never knew they were going to. I thought they were going to continue it forever.
Well, it seemed so.
Yeah, well, there's so much to spin.
I have an audition tomorrow for Star Trek Atlantis. See, there I go now.
Star Trek Atlantis. That is.
Lady! I have an audition tomorrow for Stargate Atlantis.
Yeah, Stargate Atlantis.
Maybe there's a possibility that I'll be on Stargate one day soon.
Well, Stargate's been around for a lot of years now, since Kurt Russell was one of the original actors in the first movie.
That's right, the Stargate teacher.
About 10 years ago now?
Don't quote me, but I believe it's been about a good 9 years or so.
10 years?
Stargate,
but I remember watching the movie. It was very, very good, so having for it to continue.
Stargate SG-1 ran about 9 seasons or so, and then Stargate Atlantis, of course, is the newest incarnation, which has been, I think, about 3 seasons now and going strong. So... getting back to just for a minute, Church of Inner Light.
Yes.
It closed its doors around 1999. Closed its doors after 22 years because the Reverend Trudy Jarno, who's also an identical twin, actually, her twins in Austria.
Okay.
Was probably in her 80s, and she wouldn't tell anybody her age. But she was about 5'1", white hair, big glasses, and she looked like somebody's sweet little dear old white-haired grandmother.
Really?
Incredibly psychic. She wrote many books, and she founded Inner Light. And in 1999, with her failing health, she's now passed. God rest her soul. She closed the doors of the Church of Inner Light because a group of us ordained there and a few others, because we couldn't find anything else in Los Angeles that spoke to us the way Church of Inner Light did. We opened our own spiritual center in Los Angeles called the Center of Divine Expression.
Yeah.
And we did services on Sunday in Beechwood Canyon in Los Angeles for a spell before I chose to leave. Now, if anyone had told me just a year prior to this that not only you're going to be a metaphysical minister, be ordained as a minister, but you're going to be opening your own church, I would have fallen over laughing, right?
It's true.
Because it just was never, you know, I was an actor first and foremost, and it was just not what I thought for myself and any sort of plan or future. But it's just the way life evolves sometimes. And I carry those experiences with me. And for me, again, it's all about lessons, and this was a lesson of just being open to where you're guided and what you're supposed to do. And it may not be what you're supposed to do forever, but it's part of the journey. And if we can just ride the wave a little bit, you know, I think we'll be guided to our truth and what it is that we actually came here to do.
You know, I want to share something with you. In Canada, I would say, well, let's say British Columbia here where I'm living, we approximately have about, what I understand, about 12 or 13 spiritualist churches in British Columbia.
Wow, I didn't know that.
In England, in the UK, there's 750 spiritualist churches there.
Yes.
Now, there's something different about that number. It's interesting how it's so big there, and yet BC actually is considered the largest amount of spiritual churches in Canada. There are more in Ontario, almost the same count in Ontario. The rest of it across Canada, it may be 3-4. That's about it per province. I know in the States, in New York City, there was a very famous medium who actually was one of the very first people that started the Spiritualist Church. I guess not say started, it's more like carried it. And he was a friend of Ruth Montgomery.
Oh, yes. I love Ruth's books.
Yeah.
Aliens Among Us is one of my favorite books.
Yeah, and she passed away last year.
Oh, she did. Ruth did.
Yeah, she passed away last year, I believe around springtime last year. She wrote her last book. It was her book number 10. And the reason why she never continued on carrying writing her books, because her husband, before he died, gave her an option, told her if she continues on writing about, he called it the ridiculous contact with dead people, that he would divorce her. Now, this is
right.
A man in his 80s telling his wife he would divorce her if she continues on writing books of channeling spirits.
It's crazy.
When he passed away before her, he came to her. He said, I'm so sorry.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know. And he says, you're right. Now he encouraged her to write her final book before she passed away. And it was a very good book. She actually wrote 10 books in total. And the 10th book is actually, it's more of an update about all the things she's done in the past. But she also talks about the people that really impacted her life, that helped others, and a lot of us, that what we need to understand and not to have fear of failure and to continue on believing in ourselves. And
well,
I enjoyed her book because she had so much to share through channel writing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll tell you, almost from page to page, it never was boring at all. I mean, some writers that say, I don't want to slam people, but sometimes Sylvia Brown had a bit of a boredom in some pages. But I tell you, Ruth knew how to write and got your attention all the time.
Well, I love Ruth's books, and especially when she's they're channeled aliens, channeled ET books.
Yeah.
she started off as an internationally known journalist, right?
She actually worked for the president of the United States. She was one of the secretaries.
She was, and she was a world-class journalist.
Yes, she was.
So she does know how to write, and she wasn't just, you know, some crackpot. She was internationally known before she even started channeling, or started writing about it, at least. So,
do you remember that she even predicted two presidents, a father and a son, that would be considered as the Antichrist? She said they have a tree named connected to them.
I did not know that.
I remember that book, and then all of a sudden I thought, wait a minute here, I remember that story. And actually, she's talking about the Bush family.
Yes.
They're in the sun. They're supposed to be considered the second Antichrist.
Wow.
And her version of Antichrist is the one that you have to be very careful to believe in. I remember that back in, she wrote that book in 1964.
Wow.
And I thought, you know what?
The first Antichrist is, of course, Starbucks. But,
yeah.
Just kidding.
That's horrible.
But seriously, ladies and germs. Let me tell you. You want to hear about one of my Peru trips?
Yes, I would. Go right ahead. I'd love to hear it.
To digress for a minute, what we were talking about with Ruth and channeling.
Yeah.
One of the channelings that I received years ago. That was very powerful to me. Transmission ended with the words trust, trust, trust.
Yeah.
And I see that being repeated daily through other messages and transmissions and channelers and psychics. And that is the message that we have to trust in ourselves.
Yeah.
We have to trust our guidance. And we have to trust that there is a bigger scheme unfolding. And if we just listen to our intuition and guidance, we will be led exactly where we need to be at any given time.
Yeah. If our intentions where we desire to be, we will be. But if we hesitate, that just basically slows down our path.
Yes. Well, when we second guess ourselves, we're usually wrong, right?
Yeah.
The first hit that we get is our guidance. The second is usually our brain or our ego jumping in and going, "Now wait a minute."
Wait a minute. What are you doing?
And you know, that usually ends up badly for us. So, the more for myself, the more that I've trusted my intuition, it's just grown stronger and stronger, and when I really listen to my guidance, it never leads me astray.
Yeah.
Anyway, so getting back to Peru, we know that thoughts are things. We know that thoughts create things, and thoughts create. And we can create our own abundance. I guess I'm digressing again, but this is a sort of an even better story. But I've always been good at manifesting things when I needed them.
Yeah.
When my brother and I were in middle school, there was a field trip to an amusement park, a local amusement park in Detroit. And we wanted to go, and we got in a fight with our dad, and I don't know if it was a matter of money or what it was, but he said, "You can't go." It was $10 a piece or $20 for us to go on this field trip. And, of course, as sixth graders, we, you know, didn't have it.
Yeah.
So So we left for school in a huff, and on the way there, we find a $20 bill in the gutter.
Go figure that one, huh?
So that was the first incident. When I was living years later, when I was living in Los Angeles, I was getting ready to go on a water ski trip to Laughlin, Nevada, which of course Laughlin is like a mini Las Vegas. It's a small casino town on the Laughlin River, right? So we were going for a water ski weekend trip, and I was going to buy my neighbor's car, this red sports car. And I had just enough money to do it. And my buddy came to pick me up. We were getting ready to go for the weekend, and I went to the cash machine to pull out a couple $100 for the weekend and found that I was missing $1,000 in my account somehow. And I was dumbfounded, but all of a sudden I couldn't buy the car. It was a bridge too far. So we drive to Laughlin, we go water skiing that afternoon, we hook up to these other people, which we didn't know, through a friend of mine. And so that night, then we go to the room, we all shower up, and we go into Laughlin to gamble. Well, my friend was talking to somebody at one of the machines, one of the quarter machines, I guess. So across the way, I see a quarter, in front of the quarter machines, I see a quarter laying on the floor. So I pick it up and plunk it in the machine, you know, and nothing happened. Go back to talking to them, get bored, go for a walk around the corner, and nobody leaves even a penny lying around in a gambling casino, right?
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't happen. So I go around the corner, and around the corner is a row of dollar slot machines. Sitting on top of one of the dollar slot machines was a rack of 20 silver dollars. So I'm looking around to see who walked away for a minute to grab the money changer and come back, right? Because you don't leave money sitting around.
Yeah.
Nobody came around for the rack of 20 silver dollars. So I grab the rack, and I start plunking them in the dollar machines as I'm going down the aisle. Nothing, nothing, nothing. I get to the machine at the end. I had a couple of dollars left. I don't know if I put them all in. I hit exactly a $1,000 jackpot.
You got your $1,000 back?
Same day.
Wow.
And an old money changer guy came by, and he said, "You hit that the hard way." And I said, "I'm not surprised."
You had angels on your
side. You know what? There's just no rhyme or reason for that except that it's the power of manifestation. So, of course, I ended up buying the car. Now, a couple months later, I go down to my car, the new car now, red sports car, and I see a crumpled up bill sitting on the ground behind my car. Oh, somebody dropped a dollar bill or a $10 bill on the ground. So I pick it up and I unravel it, and it's a $100 bill. So I think, hey, I wonder if there's any more of these lying around. So I get down on my knee and I look under my car, and there's another crumpled up bill under there. And I pull it out and I unfold it, and it's another $100 bill.
Oh my God.
So, you know, I know that these things happen, and I know that we're blessed when we need to be blessed. Oh, going back to Laughlin, Nevada. So I won the money. Of course, I'm sharing it with all my buddies, right? As we're riding back in the car back to the hotel.
Yeah.
Something told these were the, I didn't know these guys, but they were, you know, the sweetest bunch of guys. But something told me to stick the $1,000 cash in the bottom of my shoe under the sole. I don't know why, but something did, and I listened. Later on, a few weeks after getting back to L.A., I found out that one of the guys, one of the sweetest guys, actually, was a pathological liar and a gambling addict. So it's quite possible that if I just left the money around, that it would have been gone. And then who do you blame, right? So anyway, flash forward, I'm getting ready to immigrate to Canada here. So I call all my friends and say I'm moving to Canada, you know, catch me now because in a couple months I'm going to be gone. The next day my friend Teresa calls. She says, "Oh my God, you're leaving." She says, "You'll never believe where I'm going next week." I said, "Where?" She says, "I'm going to Machu Picchu in Peru." I said, "Oh my God, I'm so jealous." That was Machu Picchu was actually my next sacred site journey that I was planning.
Yeah.
But usually they're $3,000 and you've got to go with a guru and you end up paying their way plus their trip plus, you know, whatever else. But it's okay. That's the way it goes. So I said, well, you know, when the right time happens, I'll go. I'm not going to think about it. I'm just putting it out there. Which actually is also how I've been thinking about directing for the past 10 years. I'm going to do it. I know I will. I'm just going to keep putting it out there, and it'll happen in its right time, and that's exactly how it's happened, including this movie that I'm co-directing, which fell out of the sky into my lap, quite literally. So I said, wow, so she said, I'm going to Machu Picchu. I said, oh, that's my next sacred site trip. I'm so jealous. She said, yes, we're going for 2 weeks. The shaman's guiding us. And it's the 2 weeks is $1,250.
For two weeks, my God,
that's ridiculously cheap. I said, that's amazing. That plus your airfare, right? She said, no, it includes the airfare.
Wow.
I said, can I go? A week later, I was in Machu Picchu. That's how events in my life have been taking place. And it's magical. It's incredible, and it wouldn't keep happening if I haven't learned the power of gratitude.
I've got someone here asking questions now.
I'm grateful every day for my life and my friends and my family and my experiences because I know that it's a gift to me. And without the gratitude, it ain't going to happen no more.
Yeah.
Right? Gratitude is key.
Now, someone just asked me just now, they just in the chat room here, they're asking, what is it like to be an actor?
What is it like to stick white-hot needles in your eyes? This profession, people go, my son or my daughter wants to get into acting. Do you have any suggestions for them? Yes, get out of the business. How do you describe it? It's incredible. It's wonderful. The creative process is incredible. The amazing artisans you get to work with, the other incredibly talented people, and it's one of the toughest. People have no idea. It's one of the toughest business that there is.
It is.
Because you're dealing with constant rejection all the time. And, to be a creative type, in any creative form, you have to be sensitive. Particularly as an actor, you have to be extra sensitive because your emotional work is where the truth of your work comes out, to the degree that you're able to be genuine in your emotions, in the situation, in the moment.
Yes.
So here you have to be super sensitive, and at the same time, you know, you're dealing with an industry that is can be very cold-blooded a lot of the time. So I guess the short answer is it's a very mixed bag. And it's very hard to make a living at it. But once you're doing the work, it's amazing.
It is.
And I've had some amazing experiences. And like I say, I was a Star Trek fan growing up. To then be cast as a prime character you know, on a later episode of Star Trek is just how can you can't put a value on that.
No, not at all.
I say when somebody says I want to get into acting or writing or directing or producing, I say if it's in your heart of hearts and if it's what you really want to do, you must do it.
Yeah.
If you're doing it for the money or the fame, don't even think about it.
Well, we're coming to a close there, Jerry, and I want to share them your website. It's jerryrector.com. That's JERRYRECTOR.com. He's got a website, and you can see all the little areas that he's got a list saying resume, Jerry on TV, Jerry in film, Jerry on stage, photo gallery, and his new projects. And you'll see some of the movies, that video on film, or basically the video will be available in the video stores. One called Blood Brothers, Mean Guns, Blast, The Odd Couple 2, number 2, and the movie with Keenan Wayne.
If I can, Derek, offer a quick plug real quick.
Sure, go for it.
If I haven't had time to get into my Lahochi, my healing, but... woman's bursitis was healed, a woman's chronic back pain, gallstones were disintegrated. I've had past life experiences come up for patients. If anyone would like to be interested in booking a healing session with me, they can contact me through Alexandra Liu at Pristine Beauty and Wellness Center in Richmond, B.C., Canada. The number there is 604-277-8719. It's an amazing beauty and wellness day spa that they run there, and I can be reached through there for my Lahochi healing work as well.
Great. I know this lady, so anybody who wants to make contact with this person to go through a session, just give us a call. You can call my or even email me and go through the session and get a hold of Jerry, and he'll have a chat with you. Well, Jerry, it's been a fabulous time to have you on radio. I told you it was going to last a long time. You won't have any difficulties chatting with me. It's great to have you on. I want to have you come back again sometime later on.
I'd love to, Derek. Thank you.
You're welcome. Folks, it's been great. Next week, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be out of town. So we'll be playing a... we'll see.
Rerun.
I'll see what happens. We'll work on something. Anyways, you can folks take care, and we'll talk to you next week. This is Derek White Sky Cloud signing off in Between Two Worlds on BBSRadio.com. Be good to each other. Take care, guys. Bye.